The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say about whatever's on your mind. Your opinion is sought. And of course, if you hear something that you disagree with, you're more than welcome to call in and put your opinion against somebody else's opinion. Well, the Isle of Man government's third listening roadshow will actually... It's a moot point, is it? Is it one complete roadshow and 3B or 4 bits of it? Or are there 4 roadshows? It's the topic of conversation. Anyway, the third Listening to Your Roadshow drew its biggest audience so far at the Castle Russian High School in Castletown. Officials recorded 97 attendees with wide-ranging questions covering everything from housing, education, renewable energy, and the ongoing debate about, you got it, the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. Substantial interest focused on the long-awaited redevelopment of Castle Russian High School as well. If you were there and you want to reflect on it and tell everybody about it, by all means, call 66 13 68. And first, let me see, our first caller today is Kevin with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very good. What's on your mind?
Just a quick call. Actually, it's about the speed limits, although I wasn't at the meeting yesterday. It's just coincidentally I thought I'd call in. And I'm not speaking particularly about the 20-mile-an-hour speed limits, but I live in the south of the island, and I'm referring to a couple of speed limit changes that seem to have been happened by stealth. Now, the Ballochegan Strait, this is down before you get down to Guernsey, if you like, or it's in the south of the island, that was an open limit up until recently, and now it's suddenly changed to a 40-mile-an-hour limit. Now, also, if you go along the Castletown Bypass, that used to be an open limit, and that's suddenly now changed to a 40. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but what's happened is, if you're coming back the other way, in other words, if you're coming towards that limit, it's still de-restricted.
Right.
So they haven't actually implemented that speed limit correctly. So theoretically, you could be prosecuted if you were clocked going one way but not the other. So I'm wondering if
they put a sign one way but not the other.
Yes, and that's happened before. Now, I don't know whether this is all part of a wider strategy or whether it's just purely for the upcoming 700, but technically there's a problem there because it's not been implemented correctly. But also with a speed limit change like that, there normally has to be an application and it's normally publicised, but these do seem to be... They've just been popping up within the last week or so. Now, I don't know whether it's in connection with the 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. But whilst we're talking about that, the 20-mile-an-hour speed limits in particular, I don't so much have a problem with it, but the only issue I see is a devaluation of the currency of a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit, because if they're used too extensively and not enforced correctly, where they should be used, i.e. outside schools, etc., people can just basically learn to ignore them, and it seems that a lot of people do at the moment. But I just wondered if any of your listeners have seen these 40-mile-an-hour.
Have you come across this before? Because in the back of my mind, is this temporary? Is this temporary for the Southern 100?
Well, it doesn't look temporary, Andy, because it's actually mounted correctly on the top of a steel pole, as you would any other traffic sign. So it doesn't look temporary. It's not in the triangulated road sign, which is basically a hazard warning. This is a prohibited. This is basically a prohibition speed limit, if you like. It's in a circular sign.
Yeah.
So it is. It looks like it's permanent, but again, I don't have a problem with the 40, but it's the way it's been implemented, because it's only in operation one direction. So that's going to cause a little bit of an issue, because theoretically, coming the other way, you can do an open, it's an open limit, but 40 the other way.
It's interesting, Kevin, as you say, that I mean, I think most people understand that road safety is paramount and it has to be there, but there's a body of opinion. Some people think that dropping speed limits is an erosion of personal freedom, and they say, you know, if people can handle a car, why shouldn't they be able to go at a certain speed? So, do you follow that at all?
Well, I did my advanced many years ago. I did the advanced on in the car, and I also recently, well, about 10 years ago, I did my advanced on a motorcycle, and I used to be a member of the local Institute of Advanced Motorists, the Isle of Man group, and my test was conducted by Duncan Livingston at the time. I know he's retired now, but I do tend to feel that I don't mind speed limits, but they have to be implemented correctly. And the difficulty is that if they're not implemented appropriately, they just get devalued, and then people learn to ignore them. And that's the danger. And then when they are imperative, i.e. outside schools or nursing homes or somewhere where people should do 20, people just learn to ignore them. But when they're not implemented correctly at all, where there's a conflict of speeds, that's obviously a danger. But I think it's something that has to be exercised with sort of care, really.
That's a very interesting point, Kevin, that I've not thought of before. And it's one certainly worth making. Good to hear from you.
It's something actually that was raised by the local advanced group, was the proliferation of stop signs on the island. And it was, at the time in the 80s, there were too many stop signs. I know that sounds a bit incongruous, but giveaway signs are much more effective, because if a stop sign, if people use stop signs, although DOI implements stop signs too rigidly, again, people ignore them. And then you have the issue where people just roll over a stop sign and just drive through them, which does carry the same offence as passing through a red light. And giveaways tend to make people a little bit more cautious, because although it's a giveaway, they tend to be a little bit more cautious when they drive through them. But if there's stop signs everywhere, people eventually just tend to ignore them. So implementing the rigid 20-mile-an-hour speed limits together with inappropriate use of stop signs basically just leads to a whole devaluation of people's respect of the highway code. So there has to be a balance struck.
Okay.
There has to be a balance.
Appreciate it. Good. Thanks for reporting that today, Kevin. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome, Andy. Thank you.
Cheers. Now, it's 12:15 on Manx Radio in Man in Line today. It's a temporary speed limit. Well, 689 says it's temporary for setting up the Southern 100 racing. Kevin didn't seem to think so, if they're permanent posts anyway. A message in this. Andy, is it true there are no checks on new residents coming to live here, says Marie? Well, obviously, if somebody comes to live here, they'll obviously either have a tenancy if they're renting, or they'll purchase a house. And certainly even more checks if somebody comes and gets a job, because they'll have to have a work permit. So I don't quite know what you mean by that, Marie. It would seem there are checks on people. First caller makes a good point. The new speed limits are not just about the 20-mile-per-hour areas, but lots more 30, 40 and 50 limits being introduced, and fewer de-restricted roads. It seems to be moving towards a national speed limit by stealth. There's something that's been knocking around for many, many years. Decades, I would say. The national speed limit. A note in from Colin, who said, we seem to be growing a generation of motorists who will be travelling at relatively low speeds. Quite what these people are going to do when they get off the boat at Liverpool, or more importantly, Heysham, I don't know, because once you get off Heysham and you go down onto those dual carriageways, or perhaps onto the M6, you'll be whizzing along at 70 and sometimes 70 plus miles per hour. And if you're used to a 20 mile per hour limit, says Colin, well, the limits on the Southern 100 course are 40 miles per hour, allegedly to allow the course to be set up. Well, the course is already set up. It's from the pre-TT Classic. So is this another Michelle Haywood grand idea, says Tony. Now, I think cyclists should be banned from road use, says Phil. Well, 385. Cyclists cause tailbacks that cause people to speed and drivers get stressed. Why not employ cyclists to drive around the school roads? That'll slow everybody down. Well, it's a thought, isn't it? Or somebody said last week, get people to drive Nissan Micras around. And if you're driving Nissan Micra, it's a joke. I asked about the publishing of road closures, says 535, for the TT, as used to be in the government notices in the local papers. I was told to look online. Is it the same for the speed limits? Says 535. Tramode Road on sat-nav's now got 20-mile-per-hour signs. 30 miles per hour, which to follow, and people could start getting irate, says 264. Are the new 20-mile-per-hour speed limits just another way for the government to gain an income by catching people speeding? How much money in speeding fines is the government expecting to gain? Masking the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit as safety, which is in fact just another way for the government to gain more money from the working man and woman. Well, as yet, they've, I mean, A, Michelle Haywood has said the police haven't got enough people to police it. And secondly, they're not talking about AMPR. Well, that's not to say they're never going to talk about AMPR, because the cameras, the technology is available to do that. If you've driven across, you'll see it. You'll see those cameras, the lights flashing in your rearview mirror, if you break the speed limit, that is. And then the fine will pop through. And certainly, do you remember when Michelle Haywood was talking about sharing information with DVLC and fines possibly being transposable? Well, we wait, we watch, and we see. And Nick's on now. Hi, Nick.
Hello, yes. I've got something that's bothering me a little bit.
Okay.
This morning there's been a lot of talk about pineapples on pizza, and I don't think they should exist on pizzas. I think that makes it a dessert, and the dude does not abide. It's just wrong. I think it's completely wrong, but that's not what I called for, really. I do have a question. When I drive from Kirkmichael to Ramsey, I live in Ramsey, and there's a speed sensor just as you get to Balaf. You go from 40 to 30, and every time I go past there at 30, it flashes up and tells me to slow down. And just a couple of days ago, I was driving back from Kirkmichael, and I slowed down to 23, 24, and it still flashed up telling me to slow down. Now, I've noticed that for years and years and years, and I just would like it if it could be recalibrated. That's all. You know, I mean, if they're going to, you know, warn you and warn the people behind you that, oh my God, that guy's speeding.
Where precisely again, Nick?
Just before the bridge in Balaf.
Okay, right.
Yeah, as you're heading towards Balaf from Kirkmichael, there's a sign there that's kind of sort of slightly hidden by a trees, but it's there, and it's been there for a long, long, long time. Right. And you can guarantee, even if you're doing 24 like I was, it'll flash up and tell you to slow down and remind you that it's a 30, which I think is almost comical now. But yeah, it does irritate me, because I don't like, I'm very law-abiding. You know, I don't break the speed limit, and I don't use my phone, and I don't do anything like that. And I don't like anybody else to think, even though it really shouldn't matter what other people think, but I can't help but think, well, the person behind me knows I'm speeding, but I'm not. And whether they know I'm not, because I'm making them do 24 as well,
yeah,
or 30. But anyway, I just thought I'd put it out there. I mean, there's some places where it should be calibrated, I believe. So,
You would think so, wouldn't you? And as you say, it's a low-level irritation, but if it's a constant irritation, if it's, a consistent irritation,
it's never,
surely it's easy
never,
to get
never,
it right.
It's never, yeah, it's never been accurate, ever, since I've been driving.
Okay.
You know?
And regarding the Hawaiian pizzas, you're about 40 years too late, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I still disagree. It's my highly regarded opinion of 55 years in the making, and this aggression will not stand. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling today. Well, is ham and pineapple pizza, is that a pudding, or is it a, well, I suppose you could have pork and apple sauce. Is that a pudding? Let's go. It's Howard with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just going back and listening to that chap there about pineapple pizzas. You'll probably remember being a gentleman of a senior age, shall we say. Pineapple and cheese in a buffet.
Oh,
on
lovely.
A cocktail stick.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that was all the rage at one time.
Oh, lovely.
Condensed mushroom soup in a vol-au-vent.
Lovely. And fondue as well. That was great.
Yes, true enough. No, one I've just done out about then or something. I've seen it on the news, I've seen it in the papers, etc. The government are talking about going digital for driving licences. And I don't know whether they're following UK or otherwise. But recently, I went down to renew my licence. I'm being of a certain age. It's only every 3 years now. And I brought my old licence down and a set of photographs that I had with me that were used on that licence 3 years hence. And the chap in the post office said, oh, he said, you'll have to have an up-to-date photograph. He said, these are out of date, they're too old, and they'll reject them. So how does the system, or how is the system going to work if they're going digital, and how are they going to reproduce a photograph or bring an up-to-date one to go on your license? Because my wrinkly pass for the buses, they just use the old photograph for when I was 60, which is 21 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And I look like a terrorist. Probably people say I am, but I haven't said that. It, you know, I actually had hair then. But, you know, how is this going to work for a digital driving license on the card part of it? Because they've done away with the paper section now.
Well, well, well. Now, I wonder if that's common knowledge.
I don't know. It was on your news. It was on all the news. It was in the papers, etc.
Mm.
So I don't know how you're going to send in an up-to-date photograph and what guarantee do they have that it's you that is going on the... You know, they could have people that's sending in for a licence and putting somebody else's photograph on.
I'm sure they've got it all worked out, Howard.
Yes, well, I'll believe it when I see it because, I've just renewed mine this year and it's a 3-year one now because of my age group, which I think is wrong. It means it's charging us extra, us old fogies. But having said that, we're growing old gracefully, but the photographs, I had to go down and it cost me £12 for 4 photographs, of which I'll only use one. And then when I come to renew my license in the future, I'll have to get new photographs again.
Mm. Oh, by the way, you've started something with this organ at the Regal.
Yes.
Everybody's writing to me now from Tarleton near Preston and Southport about that, where the organ is nowadays.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm. Well, it's a good thing. It keeps... you know, keeps the old mind active on what the heritage is of the island, because the Regal Cinema, as you say, it was a grand theatre.
Yeah.
And, well, it marries in with the Grand Hotel, which is now, well, was the Yates's. And the big ballroom and a beautiful staircase in there. I don't know if it's still there. Big wooden staircase.
Yeah.
But that was the Grand Hotel. So, and I looked... Well, I saw it on Facebook, photographs of the demolition of the Regal, and it reminded me it actually caught fire when they were demolishing.
Crikey.
Yeah. There's 4 photographs that somebody's put on there, and there's a mini parked in the entrance. It must be something to do with the film that was on that particular week.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Kevin's right. At the bottom of Royal Avenue in Onchan, stop signs 4 in a space where give way would be adequate, says texter 009. Thank you for that. Nothing wrong with cyclists and cycling, says G, except when they're on the mountain road. And surely cycling on the mountain road comes down to stupidity, says G. That's just a G's word, by the way. I see stock car racing at Onchan Park stopped, apparently. Is it true? It breaks noise levels. What about the TT and classic bikes? They make more noise. Didn't know that. Has the stock car racing at Onchan Park actually finished us? 762, if there's going to be no AMPR cameras Are there aren't there cameras on the Matrix signs? Says Fran. Are there? Well, probably to find out who's coming. Thanks also to... There's no need to worry about Manx drivers not being able to do 70 on the M6. They're allowed to do 170 over the mountain, says Keith. Well, you never know. The man about the speed sign in Balaf, there is a difference between a speed limit and a safe speed. The sign is telling you to slow to a safe speed, says 556. Well, why doesn't it say it? In Hillbury Road in Onchan, school time is 30 miles per hour limit. Just try and do that at school time, particularly in the morning. It's gridlock. 2 miles per hour would be good. Two schools in the area, not one sign to indicate a school, never mind two schools, plus a kindergarten. No school patrol officers, no crossing at the junction of Birchill Crescent, says 272. Peter on 005, I live in Balaf, and the speed warning sign prior to Balaf Bridge is a joke. It's crazy. I tested it the other day by going 10 miles per hour in my car, and it told me to slow down. Speed limit is just an exercise in total control. You will do as you're told. Baby steps, little by little, you'll be controlled by the elitist. You won't need a driving license because there'll be no cars, says Desmond. If there are no cars, where's the public transport? Now, you may have seen scouts around the island over the past week or so. Over the weekend, there was an organisation holding its annual camp with 179 cubs and scouts and 20 explorers at the Mountain View Innovation Centre. But a scout group in the north of the Isle of Man is facing closure if it doesn't get volunteers to step forward in the coming weeks. New team members are urgently required for Ramsey and Balaf Scout Group, with Balaf said to be in dire need of support. The lead volunteer is Will Nelson.
We've got the Balaf Scout Group, which is desperately short of volunteers, and if we're honest, is looking at closure if we don't manage to get some volunteers who step forward in the next few weeks. And Ramsey are also short of volunteers as well, so we're really looking forward for any adults at all that would like to just give it a go and just step forward. Obviously, it'd be amazing if we can get a full new team in there, but we've got other volunteers on the island who said they'll help and support. We obviously wouldn't just put a group of new volunteers in and say crack on. We'll give as much support, as much training as people want, but we do need people to step forward to keep the group viable and running in the future.
I understand, Will, that there's a four-week program running at the moment for people who may be interested and want to know what it's like to be a scout leader.
Yeah, so we're setting up over the next 4 weeks or so a system where if people just want to come along as a volunteer, come and see what it's all about, come along to a meeting or two, have a chat, find out more, so that they can make a really good informed decision about whether it's something for them. And there's also lots of other positions, so things like a group treasurer is always useful. People who've got that background, that knowledge in legal aspects, people who've got a background in finance can help groups with their finance. Or it may be somebody who say, actually, I'd love to help with adventurous activities. I'll come and help run some kayaking sessions for you, or I'll come and help with some mountain biking or some hill walking. Obviously, people need, for some of those sessions, people need qualifications, but we can help people get them. So over the next 4 weeks, we're saying, if you want to give it a try, get in touch and we can sort out a group where you can kind of do a bit of a trial and make that really informed decision. It doesn't matter how much time you've got to commit, that's always enough. So if it's somebody who says, I can only commit to an hour a month, brilliant. Somebody who says, I can commit 2 hours a week, amazing.
If you can, then you can find out more. I think if you go to Balaf, First Balaf Scouts, they're on Facebook as well. Or if you want to go to scouts.im, they can tell you all about it, or you put a request in for information via that. If you can help, if you can volunteer for Scouts in the north of the Isle of Man, they need you.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let it rain, keep those.
This week only, get a free upgrade to Loganair's Fly FlexFare. Enjoy a larger 23-kilo hold luggage allowance, increased change flexibility, and collect more Avios, all at no extra cost. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Book by 9th July, travel from 1st August. Booking changes may incur additional fees. Book today at loganair.co.uk.
From the award-winning company behind last year's smash hit sellout production of Jersey Boys, Two Feathers Productions present the wildly entertaining musical comedy, Little Shop of Horrors, from the 12th to the 19th of July at the Gaiety Theatre. Don't miss the thrilling man-eating spectacle, Little Shop of Horrors. For tickets, call the box office or visit villagaiety.com. Sponsored by Canaccord Wealth, Atla Group, the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, and supported by Manx Radio.
The Southern 100 returns next week, and Manx Radio Motorsport will be on the air to keep you up to date with all the action around the Belown circuit. Throughout the week, we'll bring you full commentary of all the practice and race sessions, classic archive commentaries, and some great music. We'll be on the air Monday evening from 5, joining our commentary team at 6 for coverage of the first practice session. You can listen live on DAB at motorsport.manxradio.com, our smartphone app, AM 1368, and around the course on 87.9 FM. This year's Southern 100 on Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world, powered by Ellen Van In Fuels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
27 minutes past... 27 minutes before 1. We appear to be in danger of speed limits aspiring out of control. Common sense needs to be applied, and the speed limit issue shouldn't be treated as a cash cow for the government to further tax people when we're struggling already. It does seem very much that the government doesn't appreciate the strength of feeling that Manx residents feel towards a government appearing to look for any way that they can to tax the population, says Ian. We used to be a low tax jurisdiction, didn't we? Stock cars haven't been stopped, they're just stopping drift racing. Thank you, Jimmy. In on the in. You're not a drift racer, are you, Jimmy? It's perhaps again, somebody said, Keith tells me from Onchan District Commissioners, it's a prohibition for drift cars because of the excessive noise which contravenes the lease issued by Onchan. Oh, Keith's not from the District Commissioners. Keith's just from Abbeylands. The lease issued by Onchan District Commissioners, it contradicts that, apparently. E-bikes and scooters, e-scooters, do 20 miles per hour. Funny coincidence. Is it? Have you got one, Desmond? No more drift car racing at Onchan as it breaches the tenancy agreement. The drift cars are a lot louder than stock car racing, so stock cars crack on, says Dave B. Thank you, David. Good to hear from you. Some WhatsApps in today, including some roads have too many different speed limits. From Ballacrane to cross Fourways, there are 15 different... Is that true? 15 different speed limits from Ballacrane to cross Fourways. It gets confusing, says Tony C. A message in just to say, I can renew my Irish passport online, either providing a digital photo or submit one taken on your phone or iPad. No, really? The passport is then sent to the registered address. It's convenient and works very well. I don't see any problems with renewing driver's license, says Eugene. And has Manx Radio had comment on regards to how many 20-mile-per-hour limits will affect emergency services call-out times? Bill says 70% of emergency services aren't on station when they get paged. They have to first drive to the station, then depart for an emergency. Fire, ambulance, Coast Guard, RNLI, Civil Defence. And, well, we'll see. Nobody quite knows how this is going to pan out. Nobody quite. Everybody's asking for information. And it seems as though the government wants to do this. Obviously, it's been... it's been in Tynwald, what, for 3-odd years or so, since 2022. So the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit, it seems, is on the way. Now, I don't know how you feel about it. It may be, and again, lots of people jump up and down and say the vast majority of people are okay with this. It's only people who moan who don't like it. But you don't know, neither do I. It may be that it is the majority that don't want these 20-mile-per-hour speed limits blanketed everywhere. It may be that the majority couldn't care less. If you have a thought, you have 5 hours a week to comment on it. Call 66 13 68, text or email, or WhatsApp. The floor is yours. Also, regarding the roadshow that was on yesterday at Castle Rushen High School. Now, a lot of attention focused on the long-awaited redevelopment of Castle Rushen High School in Castletown. Next Wednesday, the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, MHK, will be on Man in Line talking about the DESC, about everything that the DESC does. And, of course, I'm sure that the subject of Castle Rushen High School and its replacement will come up. This is what she had to say last night.
Two architects have visited the school today to get the lie of the land and have a look at the current facilities, and I'm told three others from presumably other companies are visiting later this week.
There could be spades in the ground as early as summer 2026.
The DOI minister said that. What I was hoping is that we will see, and that I will bring, or the Treasury Minister will bring, a bid for the capital project for the funding of a full build secondary school to replace Castle Rushen High School by the summer next year, so before this administration and current elected House of Keys dissolves, ready ahead of the general election in September. I don't think there's any dispute that the building should be replaced. What the school looks like, we've obviously had an indicative plan of the location of a school build, a sports facilities and potentially a pool, and even in the future, although this isn't planned at the moment, for a primary school area as well, should that be required.
That was Daphne Kane talking about Castle Rushen High School, the new car. Crikey, it's about time, isn't it? It's been a long, long time. Also, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that representatives from the Care Vi resistance group were displaying banners outside the school. They're the people who don't want the wind turbines at Irrestane in the south of the Isle of Man. Their spokesperson, Kiri Jenkins.
We've known right from the beginning that this is a very vulnerable site. It's not suitable. It's the wrong project in the wrong location. That's why we've been fighting it from the beginning. Already, it's overrun project-wise. They were supposed to have the planning in earlier this year, in fact in January. So we're already 6 months behind schedule. And you will have heard the Chief Minister on your show on Perspective on Sunday said that he doubts that it will be done by 2026, which for us is a travesty for the public up there, because we have lived for 2 years with this hanging over our heads, and the longer it goes on, the more stress and anxiety that people have to put up with in that area.
Some people listening might say, well, are you anti-wind turbine? Are you anti-renewable? Or is it just the location?
The wrong location, the wrong project. The more that we've done a deep dive into wind turbines and the more we've learnt from the professionals that we've engaged, we've realised that this project is just so wrong for the Isle of Man in this location.
Kiri Jenkins from Care Via Resistance. Remember, there is another government roadshow, or the last part of the roadshow. It's on tonight. It's at QE2 High School in Peel. Doors open 5:15, gets underway at 5:30, and wraps up by 8 o'clock.
Hi, Peter. If Michelle Haywood is so intent road safety and pedestrians, would it not be a better idea if they actually taught them in school to walk on the right-hand side of the road, so that we're facing the traffic and not on the left with the backs to it and the rear plugs in? Thank you.
19 minutes to one. Frank said, do scout volunteers need to have a police check? I think they do. I think there's a DBS check that's involved in that whenever you deal and volunteer in those situations. It could be, says Andrea on 538, that those people who are staying quiet about the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit can't be bothered wasting their words when they think the government doesn't listen to the voting public.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Order! Order! In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store 5-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off the strimmer and shattered the conservatory window.
No problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, can they fix it?
Yes. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazing units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
All right, Paul. You're looking relaxed. You finally booked that trip?
Yep. Used some of the savings I locked in with Guernsey's Bank Skipton last year. Great interest rate and they made it so easy.
Oh, Skipton. I've been meaning to sort mine.
Do it. You'll get proper customer service too.
With market-leading savings rates and service that puts people first, Skipton International is here to help you feel secure, whatever you're saving for. For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Ramsey Garden Centre have new stock arriving every week. There's something for everyone, whether for indoors or outside, plants, bedding, decorative or solar lights. Ramsey Garden Centre are open every day over the bank holiday, including Bank Holiday Monday.
This coming Monday, celebrate Tynwald Day here on Manx Radio. We start our special programmes at 9.15, when John Moss takes a look at the history of the ancient open-air Tynwald ceremony. We'll then cross live to St John's at 9.45 for coverage of all the ceremonial proceedings throughout the morning. And from 2 o'clock, we'll bring you a flavour of the Fairfield during the afternoon. At 5.30, we present a brand new edition of the now almost three times award-winning I Am One, our satirical look behind the scenes at the nation's station and politics. And at 6 o'clock, Chris Pearce and Christy De Hayden will be in conversation with Sir Barry Gibb as he shares some very special memories of the Bee Gees and growing up on the Isle of Man. Tynwald Day this Monday on Manx Radio and at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
A note in from Steve G, who just said, on from your man who was talking about the island's growing dog problem. I think it was dog muck problem. A geezer shows up in a van three times a day at the river by the White Bridge here in Ramsey and lets out half a dozen, this is Steve's words, scraggy dogs. Go absolutely wild when they're let out. No consideration for anybody who might already be there. This goes for every public play pathway, park, grassed area in Ramsey. Majority of people in Ramsey don't own a dog and are unable to use these open areas because there are too many dogs and dog muck. I think you should have a program dedicated to this issue. Crikey, see what the people think. I also suspect the people who are able to do something about this problem may own dogs and so nothing will be done. A dog must be on a leash at all times and exercised in a designated area. That's my take, says Steve G. There was a guy who phoned last week and just said he watched somebody first thing in the morning letting a dog off. Wasn't in control of the dog. The dog was at large. He was too busy rolling a cigarette while the dog was off doing, well, it was early in the morning, so you can guess. And he didn't pay a blind bit of notice. But then again, people who are antisocial normally don't pay a blind bit of notice, do they? Regarding the horse trams, can a listener who lets us all know, who nominated a half-finished horse tram track renewal for an award and asking people to vote for the DOI not doing what Tynwald voted for? Who would vote for a half-completed project? People who accept civil servants' ruling? Thank you, says Andy. Well, the halfway horse tram continues. It is the 150th anniversary soon. We have a halfway horse tram. Because apparently we reallocated the money to it, even though the Will of Tynwald said we should complete the horse tramway. But the Will of Tynwald, it seems, didn't mean much at the time. Speaking of Castletown delays, when's the Golf Links Hotel being replaced and rebuilt? There's an urgent need for hotels in the south, says John. A lot of people drive at 40 miles per hour everywhere. 20 miles per hour is only a 50% drop in speed, and they're the only ones who are in favour of it, says Desmond. Congratulations, Desmond. Your mind-reading abilities surpass everybody else. You know what everybody else is thinking. Surprised nobody's picked up that the Chief Minister said that climate and emissions targets will be missed. Do we get a fine? Says Gaz. You can hear that if you want to listen again. The Chief Minister was with Phil Gawn on Perspective last Sunday. Should vaping be banned in the likes of Strand Streets? Not pleasant walking in a cloud of strawberry-infused vapour that's been in somebody's mouth and lungs, as they used to say the same about cigarette smoke, didn't they? Vaping, it seems, is the new fag smoke, isn't it? What hope do we have when the DOI allow a Ramsar wetlands to be drained? There's nowhere for the birds or for the disappointed visitors to go, and bordering farmlands have to marsh, not meadow, due to the destruction of the water world. Is this true, says CC? Draining the Currocks. This has been talked about many times. CC, if you've got some absolutely direct stone-cold proof, then do pass it to me. I'd love to hear about it. Dogs on the lovely beach last night in Port Erin on a beautiful evening were left running wild, says John. Is there a dog warden in Port Erin? I mean, Port Erin is an iconic beach on the Isle of Man. Dogs on the beach? Thanks also to, oh, there's a WhatsApp. Big John in Ramsey just says, unfortunately, the Carevi resistance group are mostly homeowners in the wind farm area, so they have a vested interest. Well, we knew that anyway. They've always said that, John. But as the people who live close by, they seem to know an awful lot about that area and its status. So you would expect them to talk about that. That is, and I'll just mention this again, it's an opinion. Manx Radio, the opinion programme. So next Wednesday, Daphne Kane, Sarah Mulby and Paul Crane, Sarah Mulby MHK, Paul Crane MLC. Daphne Kane's the minister, and Sarah and Paul are the political members for the DESA. A lot going on, including the fact that they're going to be looking again, or say they're going to be looking again, at the financial assistance given to Manx students who go away, and if that's going to be revised or what they're going to do about it. There's also the situation where the head teachers, deputy head teachers, are considering industrial action because they feel in some way insulted, slighted, badly treated, not taken notice of. So there's that in the background. Castle Russian High School, lots more. And if you have a question, and remember, the DESE isn't just about education, it's sport and culture, it's the NSC, it's the Villa Marina, it's culture, our language. So if you've got a point that you'd like to make, then by all means do get in touch. Andris, the chair of Andris Commissioners, Jackie Farragher, says people shouldn't underestimate the power of the community. Well, we know all that about that on Man in Line. The power of the community. They've opened a new play area. It was paid for by fundraising from local charities. Jackie Farragher said they've had a number of setbacks during the process. They've persevered, and Andris has won.
It's been a long time coming, a long time since we first decided in 2021 that the old park was reaching its sell-by date. And how easy would it be for us to just put up another play park?
How have you found the process?
Oh, absolutely a weight off our shoulders. I'm sure our clerk, Maureen Callow, would agree with that. There was quite a lot to go to start with. We wanted to take some trees down. Obviously, we were refused permission. So then we chose another area to put the park. Again, we had to apply for planning and wait for that. Then we wanted to start the groundwork, but we couldn't because of the bird nesting season. So everything seemed to be sort of stepping in our way to try and slow us down. But we persevered. And we're here today, and I don't think we could ask for a better play park.
Obviously, the commissioners did a lot of fundraising for this event, and you mentioned in your speech when you were cutting the ribbon about how many people are involved, but there's one person you really want to thank, isn't there?
Absolutely. Maureen has worked her socks off tirelessly. Every time we have a meeting, we discuss things, and off she goes, and then she's come back because there's another trip hazard or a stumbling block. So then we've changed direction, and then Maureen's had to go off again. The commissioners is nothing without their clerk, and Andrews Parish Commissioners are nothing without Maureen Callow as their clerk. I think everybody in Andrews, whether it's been the darts match, the pub quiz, the Christmas fair, anything at all that's happened in the village, everybody's thrown themselves wholeheartedly in.
Well, that's Jackie Farrier talking about the new play park that's happening up there, and anybody who knows Maureen Callow will know that you don't get in the way of Maureen Callow. So I'm not surprised it happened.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Yeah, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture is going to be reviewing what support it provides to Manx University students. Daphne Kane, MHK, responded to a question in Keys about the combined incomes for graduate support. Currently, there are three grants alone available to students. Now, they're mostly means tested. Of course, Daphne Kane declared that she's got children of university age and said the review won't change what support is offered, but how it can be offered and to how many people, to the number of people. The Isle of Man has always sent lots and lots of students to university. Now, some of them come back to the Isle of Man, some never come back, and some come back after about 10, 15 years. It is an investment that we make in our students to get them educated to graduate level. If this has affected you, of course, you may have a son or a daughter within your family who've gone to university and benefited from support from the Manx taxpayer. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have a thought on this. Chief Minister is going to be on Man in Line as well in a couple of weeks' time. I think it's 2 weeks next Tuesday. Tuesday, 22nd of July, Alfred Cannon, MHK, will be on. Remember, Monday is Tynwald Day. We'll be live all day. I'll be there first thing in the morning by the Lych Gate talking to the politicians. No Man in Line on Monday because it's a bank holiday. And I'm sure you'll be at St John's. It's reduced grandstanding this year. You may have heard Lawrence Skelly, president of Tynwald, saying that numbers have been down in the grandstand over the past few years, so they're cutting the size of the grandstand. So we'll see what happens, whether or not it's anything less of a spectacle because of that, then we'll see. Of course, it's fair to say we haven't really had a superstar guest for a while. Princess Anne was with us a couple of years ago, but it's been quite a while since we've had royalty. Do you remember? I think it was the King of Norway came once upon a time. But anyway, any thoughts on that? Love to hear from you. Commiserations to Billy Harris, by the way. Yesterday got knocked out in the second round of Wimbledon, a former Manx tennis player. And a note in from 299 who says, Andy, look, I think the DOI on the whole does a great job. But remember, they do employ subcontractors. So if the subcontractors don't do the job, I'd be really interested to know whether the DOI actually follows up with the subcontractors. So it's a thought, and nobody's ever mentioned this before. We always talk about the DOI as this great amorphous mass, but remember, they do employ subcontractors. Any thoughts on that? I believe after a hard day at work, the public would rather relax and not sit at school being told lies by puppets. So that these are Maxwell's opinion, by the way. It's Maxwell's opinion, 600. Well, they've asked us to go along, and you can go to QE2. And talk to the politicians tonight. Of course, if the politicians didn't have the roadshows and didn't want to speak to you, do you think people would then say, well, they never speak to us? They're offering to speak to you in person. And I think it's worth pointing out, this doesn't happen in many other places around the world, really. The Isle of Man is almost unique in the access that we get to our politicians. Their telephone numbers are advertised. Their addresses are often advertised. And they speak to us. When can we get some new MHKs? Looking to get I'm expecting a very big broom and a huge clear out, says Roy B. Roy B, 505. Does this mean you're going to stand? Because it's not that far away. September next year. I love my dogs, says Daphne, and they're walked responsibly. And I believe you, Daphne. Most dog walkers do behave responsibly. That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. Back tomorrow. WINT.